If you had the exact playbook the top 5% of gym owners run, how big would your numbers jump this year? Lock that playbook in September 4th through 6th in Nashville at the 2025 Grow Summit. These are the exact frameworks owners use to scale, step back, or even sell their gym for seven figures. Go to fitprogrowsummit.com, choose your seat, and drop the code PODCAST for an instant $100 discount. See you in Nashville.
Listening to the Built to Grow podcast, delivering the knowledge in all things fitness business. We help gym owners win. Here are your hosts, Tim Lyons and Randy Engston.
All right, welcome back to the Built to Grow podcast. I'm your host, Tim Lyons, joined again in studio by Randy Engston. What's up, buddy?
How we doing? How we doing?
That's one of my favorite shirts right there for the Iron Circle, man.
That's why I wore it. I heard it was your favorite.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the reason.
It's a good one, man. That was from our Iron Circle experience in North Carolina, where Blackbeard, the pirate, used to roam.
Mm-hmm. What a cool story, though.
Cool story. Special announcement, guys. I did release this on social media last week. Our guest speakers for our next upcoming Las Vegas Iron Circle experience in October. And if you guys have any interest in the Iron Circle, get in now, because you're going to get a chance to hang out for a full day with Stephen Kotler, who is a neuroscientist. He's a Nobel Peace Prize, like Pulitzer Prize nominee. He studies the brain and what and how to get into peak performance.
Yeah.
That's our first guest. Our second guest is the founder of ClickFunnels, Russell Brunson, marketing magician, the playbook writer for just about every gym's marketing that they're doing right now. And we're excited to have him as well as a second guest speaker on Saturday. So big double bonus for everybody coming out.
It's a massive event.
It's huge.
Yeah.
It's changing the game. We're pushing the gas. When it comes to Iron Circle, it's what I want.
Yep.
It's what I would want it, if I was a gym owner. So that's the way I think about everything. How if I'm a gym owner and I'm paying to be in a mastermind, I want X, Y, and Z. I want the best information. I want the best players. I want a line in the sand to get in there. I want, big thinkers, guys that are doing other things, and I want to be in that room.
Yeah. And we go right to the top. That's there's value in that, right? We always talk about proximity. We got Russell Brunson himself.
Yes.
Not somebody who teaches marketing concepts. We've got Stephen Kotler himself, not somebody who teaches flow state and, those things. They're the guys.
Yeah.
They wrote the book. We're going to hear it directly from them.
Yeah. 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 Proximity. So ironcircle.net, if you have interest in the Iron Circle, we do have some openings, not for long though. After the Growth Summit, some things are changing. So get in now. All right. Let's get into this topic. There's five things that we see all the time that gym owners are doing to sabotage their growth. And we're going to get into them on this show. Let's just get into them.
Let's dive in.
Number one, always and consistently chasing leads versus trying to keep their clients in the gym, right?
Yeah.
It's that old saying, three times, five times, 10 times cheaper to keep a client in your gym than chase and acquire a new client over time. And with rising marketing costs constantly, this is not going to change.
No, competition never slows down. There's a million reasons why acquiring a new client just gets more difficult.
Yes.
As time goes on. Sure.
And do I believe that new leads are the lifeblood of any gym? Of course. So is cash. Cash is what you're collecting in your gym from your current members. And so speaking of North Carolina, we just had Joey Coleman out. He the eight phase, never lose a customer again. And on the cover of that book, it's got a little red balloon that's floating away. And he told us what that means. He said, that's what typically happens with customers in any business. They just quietly float away and you don't hear much.
Mm-hmm.
And I would argue that's probably about as accurate as it gets. You don't hear much until it's too late.
Yeah, that soft cancel, that freeze.
It never comes back or the, financial, which really isn't, or whatever it is. It's the lack of usage.
Mm-hmm.
It's silently disappearing, and you got to constantly replace. And While I believe that it's going to be nearly, if not impossible, to keep your attrition at zero for a long term, you could do it over short terms. You're good. The more members that you have, the bigger your business, the more clients you're going to have to replace.
Mm-hmm.
Just a law of percentage of attrition. But if you were to turn your budget that you spend on marketing and you kind of turn it inward, and let's take some of that budget or a new budget, and let's try to keep your clients longer by celebrating victories, by onboarding them correctly, by, you know, holding their hand when they need it the most.
Mm-hmm.
All of those things are in the book, by the way. And we did the whole, we put all the things up in this other room here, me, Jolie, and Zach, and we just knocked out all of our things. All of our stages are affirm, you know, all these things that the customer goes through, from the buying cycle to the buyer's remorse to the need for community and all the things in between. And we realized really quickly, we're missing huge chunks of this.
Sure.
And most every gym is.
Yeah.
Most every gym is so front end focused, the first three phases all the way to their first appointment, that everything after that kind of falls off. Because in your head, you're like, well, this person's a great member. They've been here for 5 years. What do I need to worry about them for? Well, I'd argue those are the people you should probably worry about the most. They've paid you the most, right? Yeah. And it's just counterintuitive for most gyms.
And you could see it retrospectively in like the marketing to gym owners, right? There's a million agencies trying to teach you how to get another lead. There's almost nobody talking about how to keep people in your business.
Well, that's what Joey Coleman's first slide was like, there's 12 million books on sales and marketing and like 1,000 on retention and customer experience. Yeah. You know, it's so smart by him. And we're excited. Actually, we're going to have him again.
There you go.
We're going to have him again for one of our other events. So that's mistake number one. Let's focus inward. Let's keep your clients happy. All right. Mistake number two, we see this. It's not as common. It's selling sessions versus the result. We do still see this. There's a couple of gyms, maybe a little bit older school, that would rather, or it's easier to sell 10 packs, 15 packs of sessions. And, you know, maybe they have a basic membership there as well. And let's be honest, if you're talking to a member or a client or a prospect that comes in and they have this weight loss goal, how can you say or ever really guarantee that they're going to hit the result in 10 sessions and then have to sell them again? It's you need to sell them first off a lifestyle.
Yeah.
Everybody listening onto the show right now, fitness is a lifestyle for you. It's part of your daily routine. I was up this morning in the gym, right? Every single day you're in the gym, you're doing your thing. It's not hard for you, but we, for some reason, sell the session packs because it's maybe it feels good to get $3,000 up front or something like that, but it's just not really like, it's not the service. It's not the productized service that the client really needs.
Sure. Great way of putting it. And I think to your point, I think most of the gym owners I speak to that are doing that stay doing that because that's what they've done, right? They know that they should probably be doing it differently, but they've always sold sessions. They don't know how to have that conversation with their clients. They don't know how to make the transition in their business to selling time, the result, lifestyle, you know, those types of things. So they just gravitate back towards what they know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, gym owners, like you guys listening, if this is you, this is your opportunity. Right? Everyone else is going this direction because there's way more strength and power. And I mean, could you imagine being able to look at the rest of your year and have an understanding of the projections of your numbers and things like that? Because you're selling, whether it be weekly memberships, monthly memberships, but you're selling the time that the person's paying for, not just the session pack.
Number of sessions.
I mean, and think about it, right? Gym owners, the sale it has to take place, but nobody enjoys like having to go have that sales consultation for somebody who's been in the business. You know, you got to sell them another pack of sessions.
Yeah. And it's like, you're getting graded at the end of that. Well, it's time to renew your sessions. Are you going to renew? And it's like when the barista spins that iPad around, it's going to ask you a couple of questions. It's the tip. It's the tip. How awkward is that?
Yeah. Well,
it's just going to ask you a few questions. Before they spin it, I go, like, what to tip you? Is that the question? Well, yeah.
Let's just throw this on the table here. Yeah.
Oh, man. It, you know, it is what it is. I would say this. If you're selling sessions right now, I would love for you to go look at those 10-pack, or let's just call it 20-packs. How long does it take them to actually do the 20 sessions? Is it 6 months? Because they're doing three sessions a month or something, or 7 months?
And that's part of the problem, right? When we know showing up in
consistency
leads to retention. When we know, you know, clients at risk, when they're not coming in enough times each month, all of that stuff is writing on the wall. But yeah. What are you doing to mitigate some of that stuff as your model, right? Like, you have the choice to make these changes in your business so that you don't have the variable stress, right? Like, think about that. I mean, if you had to resell everybody in your business every month,
well,
every couple
months. And you have no idea where your business really is. Mm-hmm. You don't know the health of your business. I was working with a gym owner recently that had sold sessions, and in his CRM or in his membership management database, his software, he had like 800 clients. I'm like, holy smokes, you got 800 training clients? Well, it's not really accurate because a lot of these guys are on sessions, and you know, some of the, you know, if they still have unused sessions, or they're still kind of
showing as a client.
I hadn't seen this guy in 5 years. I'm like, well, let's really look. That's why I really focus on the delta, right? It's the recurring revenue. It's that monthly recurring revenue. And honestly, I believe a recurring revenue model is much easier to sell to the consumer than 20 sessions for whatever, $80 a set, I don't know, $1,600 or whatever. Hey, it's $90 a week.
Yeah.
And then they're there for 4 years.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's a totally different thing. All right. Hey, Tim Lyons here. And let me ask you a quick question. If you had the exact playbook the top 5% of gym owners run, how big would your numbers jump this year? Lock that playbook in September 4th through 6th in Nashville at the 2025 Grow Summit. 3 days laser focused on building a gym that prints profit and buys back your time. Okay, I'm going to walk you through the 7 habits of the highly profitable gyms that we work with. You'll master the Love's Flywheel with Dan Waymera. You're going to learn magnetic hiring with Lindsay Vastola, and even bolt on a 5-figure nutrition program with Jennifer Brockstrom. You need marketing firepower? Alicia Little shows you AI automation that do the heavy lifting while you sleep. Do you want unshakable sales swagger? Christopher Carter's body language tactics seal the deal. Then New York Times best-selling author Donald Miller closes us out by teaching you how to clarify your message so clients line up and referrals explode. Single track stage, zero fluff, only 250 seats. These are the exact frameworks owners use to scale, step back, or even sell their gym for 7 figures. VIP is disappearing fast, so go to fitprogrowsummit.com, choose your seat, and drop the code podcast for an instant $100 discount. Good only while you're hearing my voice. Grow Summit 2025, build the gym that wins. See you in Nashville. Mistake number 3, let's get into it. Doing everything yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is going to not just be specific to gym owners. This is all business owners, not all, but like, think about the alpha style, get it done, focused gym owner, entrepreneur guy or girl. Well, it's a lot easier sometimes for you just to do the thing than stop, teach somebody to do it, look over their shoulder, catch their mistakes. And then you just like, maybe you tried that and then they keep making mistakes. You just give up and just take it back. Yeah. I know I do that all the time. Sure. I've done it all the time. And it's just like, it's because we move so fast. It's a curse. It's a blessing and a curse. You're moving fast. Your team can't keep up. It's easier for you just to do it. So you just do all the things. And then it's like, well, then these other people just aren't doing anything, or you don't trust them. So you don't give them anything new because they screwed it up once. And so here's the fix. Okay. First off, this is very backwards to say, but you have to care less.
There you go.
You have to care. You can't care as much as you would care for it. Let's just call it task. Tim, well, that's stupid. Why would you want to care less? Well, if you continue to care as much as you care about it, you'll never give anything up.
Yeah.
Because they're never going to care as much as you. Your staff isn't. They're not going to do it as well as you would, or they're going to do it a different way. Maybe it's the right way and yours is the wrong way, but it's not to you, right?
Sure.
And so you have to just take that filter and be like, okay, okay is good enough for these three things or whatever.
Somebody, I had a podcast or a coach or somebody said a while ago, 80% of a result that somebody else does for you is better than 100% of you, the result of you doing the work. Right. And when it comes to business, the goal is growth. You as a gym owner, you know, you've got a set limited availability of bandwidth. And if you're trying to take it all on yourself, some things are going to fall off. You know what I mean? You can't do it all. Mm-hmm. And especially as you're trying to scale, it becomes a who, not a how. It's not you, right? I mean, how many business owners talk about employing people that are smarter, better than them in their role?
Yeah.
And allowing them the autonomy and the authority to go make those decisions and do the work. That's true. That's how you scale. If you want to be stuck in that cyclical situation of my business can't grow, this may be one of those big reasons why, because you're trying to do it all yourself instead of employ.
Yeah, that book. We're just talking about who, not how. That's by Dan Sullivan.
Sorry. No, is it?
And Dr. Benjamin Hardy.
Yeah.
So Dan Sullivan and Benjamin Hardy wrote a book called Who, Not How. And it kind of was like common sense.
It seems that way, yeah.
It's like, well, yeah, you don't need to know how to do everything. You need somebody who can and does know how, and that's what they do. Well, there's a missing piece to this book that I'm very clear that it's not in there because I listened to it. It's the what. So I don't know if they need to do the what and then the who and then not the how, because here's the reality. If you don't know what you want, there, you can't even go find the who to do it.
Sure.
Right. So you need to know what you want to have done. Then you need to find the who to do it. But here's the other thing. Stop making all the decision processes go through you. You must have or allow your team to make decisions on the best behalf of the business, right? Mm-hmm. Like that is the catalyst to getting things off of your plate.
I think it was like week one when we started ProFit.
Yeah.
Like you're like, no, if you're in the role and you're making just make the decision, we'll figure it out later if something needed to change. But everything going through you means you're the one that's doing it all.
And we'll slow down.
Yep.
If you want to move fast in your business, fast, scale, bring people up with you, you have to let them make the decision. You can't be over the one overseeing everything. And there was a point in time, like when I gave up this role as director or owner or whatever, to the first director, which was, Brent. We had just kind of a line of sand. If it was under $500, I don't need to hear about it. Then it was $1,000. I don't need to hear about it. And now it's like, I don't need to hear about it.
Yeah.
Unless you feel like you need to tell me, sure, because it's like way out of bounds, or, hey, we got to buy a new squat rack.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, just let me know what's going on. But that's the secret. That's the key. You need somebody that's making decisions for the best interest of the business. And you have to believe that. You have to believe that the employee is looking out for the business. They're not trying to sabotage it.
One step further too, not just believe that they are, but make sure you as the owner, like the onus is on you to make sure that they have the skill set, the knowledge
to make the
decisions, right? And so you almost have to have them. You have to like train them to kind of like know the way that you think. You believe, like they have to emulate your decision making.
Correct.
If that makes sense, right? And so, but once it happens, I'd say more often than not, those decisions are in alignment with you as the owner.
100%.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that skill, like you can't just throw them in the position and be like, all right, here's the credit card. You're good to go.
You have to be able to So train that person on how you make decisions. Mm-hmm. And I'm very clear. I've said it a million times. We buy time.
Yep.
Okay. We buy knowledge and we look at the return on investment. Mm-hmm. We're not like Conan, one of our guys that works for us. He was like, he loves buying these things on, what's that thing called?
AppSumo. Yeah.
And he presented one to me this morning. He goes, I know it's a little premature, but like, I think I can buy this lifetime deal on this website that will take over like the Shopify instead of paying $39 a month. It's $800 one time. I'm like, let's put that on the side, dude. We don't need that. We don't need to buy things
because we can.
We don't need to buy that. It does. Like, what's the return on investment? Well, it's going to take 20 months. Mm-hmm. The math of it.
Yeah.
But what about the cost of doing it and moving everything over? It's just not worth it to me.
Sure.
Right. So, who knows? All right. Mistake number four, there's no clear path for ascension for your members. Okay. So one of the big things we teach in our Springboard program is the ascension model. The ascension model essentially says How do you take somebody from never hearing about you, bring them into your business at a baby step, and then bring them up to the next most expensive thing, the next thing above that, all the way to the top of what you call your value ladder, your ascension model, your ascension ladder, to the thing that will get them the best results?
Highest price programming provides the greatest opportunity for greater, the best results.
So most gyms, I wouldn't say all, don't really have a model or a path to get somebody from A to B or A to Z. Or as the Australians say, A to Z. A to Z. They don't have that path. They have services. Maybe they have basic gym access, a large group training class, some semi-private, maybe some one-on-one, and then that's it. But they don't ever cross-pollinate or bring somebody up to the next level because of a lot of reasons. One, they don't market internally.
Sure. Yep.
In order for you to sell something to somebody, they need to know it exists. Right. And if they don't know it exists, they're never going to ascend. And then the other side of that issue would be a class-based model, specifically just class-based, not strength-based.
Sure.
So when I say a class-based model, I'm thinking metabolic conditioning. Mm-hmm. It's just for everybody that's listening. A metabolic conditioning class, whatever, hot, sweaty in a room, metabolic conditioning, high heart rate, sweaty, high fives, chest bumps. That's loud music. That's it in a nutshell. Well, the client that goes into that typically is looking to lean out, lose body fat, lose weight, get more cardiovascular endurance, feel better, in shape better. But nowhere in that model, in that metabolic conditioning model, is building lean body mass.
Correct.
In order to do that, you have to lift weights. You have to create muscular damage. And after a while, especially those hardcore, call them fire breather, boot camp, CrossFitter type, well, CrossFit has some strength training, but like a boot camp model, burn boot camp, well, they just plateau.
Yeah.
Their body adapts to the stimuli, right? And it's just going to be that way forever. And you know this is true when somebody takes two classes in a row, the same day.
Yeah.
There's no possible way somebody should be able to blow through two sessions in a row.
Yeah, absolutely.
But we had a client out of Florida who was a boot camp only, class-based, metabolic, you know, body weight, a lot of stuff. And he had some fire breathers. And he was introducing semi-private through our model. And he got some clients to try it out. And they were doing some squats and some heavier lunges and, you know, some deadlifts and stuff like that with the barbell. And they were blown away how out of shape they were.
Isn't that amazing? Yeah.
And these were those fire breathers, two sessions in a day, every day type of people. It's because their body was not used to that. Sure. And so that alone was the next step up for those particular clients, because they're in great shape, quote unquote. They don't have any muscle mass.
Yeah.
So like, you got to get some muscle mass. So not having those two levels of service, if you don't have that strength training service for a large group training class, where does that person go?
Somewhere else.
Out the door.
Yep.
So it's a retention play. It's a monetization play, but it's a results play. It's a retention, long-term retention. So
yeah.
So that's a common mistake we see. Hey guys, Tim here. And is your gym stuck between $8,000 and $25,000 a month and you know that you're capable of doing more? You need to check out the Springboard. Springboard's our new 12-month coaching program designed to help you hit $30,000 a month in stable, recurring revenue. To see how Springboard can help your gym, just visit gymownercoach.com. That's gymownercoach.com for all the details. And then the number five is you're not leading, you're managing chaos. This couldn't be more true. What's the first thing you do typically with a new training client or the new coaching client?
Time audit.
Time audit. And what do you see mostly?
Putting out fires, right? They're in a reactive state instead of proactive. They're showing up every day and they're going, all right, what do we have to do today? What fires do I have to put out? But they're not they're not managing or running the business. They don't have, you know, goals set for growth and things,
right,
you know, that are going to support the progression of the business. It's right. All today's, you know, today's
in the activity, moment,
in the moment. Yeah.
What's exactly the problem I got to solve today? So they're a firefighter, not a fire marshal.
There you go.
Yeah. And so I'm speaking to this at the Perform Better Summit. Firefighters do exactly that. They run into the fire, they spray it down, and they solve that problem in the moment. Fire marshals are preventative.
There you go. Yeah.
They're looking at fire code, fire sprinklers. Are the things in the right place? The systems? Is there an exit plan? You know, so there's not a catastrophe in a particular building. The owners of the gym need to be fire marshals. They need to have the plan that prevents those fires from ever starting.
Mm-hmm.
And if they do start, they're immediately extinguished without the owner having to do the work. And so it just comes down to being proactive, like you said, having a clear game plan and not just mailing it in every day. You're walking into the gym with no plan. The best way you can do this is the night before. I like doing the night before. Some people do it first thing in the morning. The night before, you think about the next day and what are the things that are going to move the needle in your business. Maybe it's calling that other business owner, setting up a deal, a cross promotion. Maybe it's going in and learning a new ad hook or something to drive. Or maybe it's to add emails to your automation because you only have one. Or maybe it's building a system to do the performance evaluations for your coaches because you really don't have anything set in stone. It's kind of on the fly. It's like that's the fire marshal's job.
Yeah.
Is to set all those systems up in place to make sure that the fires never happen.
Yeah, I think the last one that you said there, I mean, tying that to almost like training your team, educating your team, developing the skill sets of the people that are working for you to manage and handle those things so that you don't end up with the fires, right? And it's really hard for a gym owner to stop what they think they need to be doing today to prevent that future fire, right? Like do the work that's going to help mitigate some of that stuff for the future. I think otherwise, I mean, it's really cyclical, you know what I mean? Until you make it a conscious choice to attack some of the problems that consistently happen in the business and do something different or figure out a system to help that, you're going to continue having those fires.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And it goes back to the other thing, not having everything go through you.
Mm-hmm.
If everything goes through you, all the fires are going to be on your right in front of you when you walk in the door.
Oh, I can tell you with 100%, you know, certainty that Zach and I are a layer of insulation, you know, in your
thank you.
Your headspace, you know.
Thank
but,
you.
But that's intentional.
It
you
has
know
to
what I mean?
Be that
if,
way.
If we allowed everything, again, you know, we have the conversations for things that you should be in tune on, but the stuff that just doesn't require your input, we have the authority to go handle, make sure that we can put that fire out without it getting to you.
Never
you
gets know? To me. There's like a moat, which keeps my headspace clear.
And
because,
that's what I was getting at, yeah.
Because I'm not that like the emotional guy, but it affects the shit out of me when something's going wrong somewhere. I'm like, man, and then I feel like I got to go in and like deconstruct it and reconstruct it. And here's the other weird thing that nobody really talks about is as the longer you're in business, you solve a problem. If for something that happens, let's just, I don't know. I'm going to come up with something here. So like the problem was clients were maybe booking out sessions and not showing up to them and there was no repercussions.
There
let's just say that's a problem, right? Cause they're taking a time slot or a coach is there and then nobody shows or whatever it is. So you put a system in to penalize a client. You get the memo out. And if somebody no shows, there's a $25 fee, whatever. And it fixes the problem for a while.
You know, exactly. Yeah.
Then the problem starts coming back and you're all the way down thinking everything's fine as the owner. Then you go back and you find out the problem's happening again. And then you find out that nobody's been being charged.
They're not being charged. Exactly.
You fixed it once already, but then you didn't stick to that thing. Because somebody gave you shit or whatever it was, one of the clients was bitching about it. And you're like, let's just not do that anymore. Then the problem shows back up. And then you're thinking that problem was solved. It was solved, but then you got off the plan.
Yep.
It happens all the time, man.
Yeah, constantly, right? If you have a system in place, go back to the system that's working. Don't just scrape it.
And I remember many times early on, it's like, I swear we fixed this problem. We've already fixed this once. Like, what was it that we did? Oh, that's right. We were billing people every day. Well, what happened? Are we doing that still? You find out they're not. Well, go back to doing that and it's fixed.
Yeah, the problem's not that they're not showing up. The problem's in fact, we're not doing this thing to penalize them for not showing up, right? So, yeah. But even at that too, that's another, it's a good way of looking at things too in the business is when you have a system in place, If they're not doing the system, you go back to the system.
Yeah.
If the system isn't working, you fine tune and tweak the system. You don't necessarily wipe the slate clean and bring a whole new system in too.
Yeah.
See, gym owners doing that all, they're working harder than they have to. We just went through it with one of our clients was talking about employee time off. He had a system in place and then all of a sudden there was, you know, mismanaged scheduling and something. And he's like, oh, well, we were doing it this way.
And it worked.
And it was, and then, we're, you know, he's like, but what other way can I do it? And I was like, wait, Ryan was our client. Are you doing, like, was it working when they were doing that? Yeah. Okay, well, go do that. Like, you don't have to change where you were communicating, how it's being done, add all these other bells and, no, just go do what was working.
It's the entrepreneurial curse.
100%.
The entrepreneurial curse says, oh, that was working so well. Let's try something completely different this time.
Yeah.
It's a curse because we're creators and we want to create something. And it's just like, well, don't make it harder on yourself.
That's the thing. It's bandwidth, it's energy, it's thought, it's all of that stuff.
Yeah. And move on. And I think if you look at business as a going down the track of business, going down the road, right? Anything you can do to continue pushing down the road and not catch that flat tire, not pull off the side and go down the wrong path, stay on the road and fix it. Like if you start to veer, give it a little nudge, bring it back onto the path.
Yeah. Little micro, you know, adjustments,
micro adjustments,
optimizations. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. You got it. All right, guys. So that's it. So those are the five things we see a lot of times happening in gyms that are sabotaging your growth. Hopefully that helps you guys. If you have interest in the Iron Circle, ironcircle.net, we'll put the link in the show notes. Russell Brunson, Stephen Kotler, super pumped to see those guys coming up in our next event. That's it for this show. Until next time, keep changing lives. We'll see you on the next one. Bye. All right. Thanks for listening to another episode of the Built to Grow podcast. If you want more help growing your business, join our free Facebook group, Profit Accelerator, helping training gyms grow to $30,000 a month and beyond. We'd love to see you there. Go check out the show notes for the link and keep building something great. And we'll see you in the next episode.